Pastor, for what you did on that cross. You died. You were buried. But the good news is you were resurrected and rose with all authority. And the approval came from God the Father, came from God the Holy Spirit, and through you and yet work to become a new being in Christ. And so, Lord, that new being now resides inside of each and every one of us. We have been renewed by the Holy Spirit, and all you're asking us to do is allow you to be resurrected. Have your way. Help us to understand we're no longer your enemy, but we're now your friend. And like Deacon Brown taught in Edify Hour, friendship means an intimate relationship with the true and living God. Most people of the world do not understand intimacy with God. So Lord, we thank you for that understanding. We thank you for giving us that new relationship. We thank you for helping us to realize that we are now intimate with you, the very core of our being. And the proof is you now live in us. So Lord, have your way. And we will continue to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Now if you can stand to your feet for the scripture. Psalms 55 and 22. Psalms 55 and 22. Mm-hmm. And we'll give you the title, which is already on the screen. Psalms 55 and 22.
All right.
When you find it, say, I got it, or say amen.
Amen.
He says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you.
Yeah.
He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. You may be seated.
Oh Lord.
Title of this morning's message is God Cares About You.
Amen.
The saddest thing about Christians is once they get saved, they don't realize God cares about them.
Yeah.
Yes, adversity may be taking place, problem may be coming into your life, but you have to understand God cares about you.
Yes, he does.
He cares more about you than you care about yourself. See, God died on that cross to free you from the yoke and the grip of sin.
Yeah.
And as I was doing the funeral, was it Saturday, Friday? Mm-hmm. I was explaining to people what sin is. Sin is a disease of the soul. It's God, I don't want to do what you want. Mm. And why does God allow sin? To help you see the result is death.
Yeah.
Doesn't Romans 6:23 say the wages of sin is what?
Death.
God say, I put that in place to get your undivided attention.
Mm.
You ever go to a funeral of someone and you see that the person that you used to see walking around and hug and embrace, whether they were a family member or somebody you knew, is now laying in the casket? Funerals are for those that are alive, not for those that are dead, because they're not there. God wants you to realize death is a consequence of sin. And I'm going to destroy every human body unless I come back and rapture it out here before the end. That's how bad God said he hates sin. God said, I hate sin that bad that I want to destroy the very holy temple that I made in human beings. Because the wages of sin is death. And when you're hurting and you tore up from the flow up on life adversity, that's the effect of sin. When you lose a loved one, you can feel that pain, right?
Amen.
When that hurt, God say, I know that. That's why I came to the world to deal with sin. He said, I came into the world to destroy the works of the devil.
Yeah.
But I want you to understand today that God say, cast your burden upon him.
Yeah.
You hurting?
Yeah.
Life gives you problems and adversity.
Yeah.
Give it to him. Let me give you the definition of, first of all, of cast. The word cast means to give and hand over to. God say, hand it over to me. You cannot handle it. Hand it over to me. And second, he says, your cares. Why? What does it mean to care? Care means to be concerned about another. And nobody can show you more about care than God.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, mm-hmm. verse 7.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
Casting all your anxiety on him. See, sin's going to cause to have anxiety.
Yeah.
Sin is going to cause you to have an effect of pain and suffering and hurt and loss. But God said, give it to me. When you give it to me, things change.
Yeah.
When you give it to me, I'm going to show you I care about you.
Yeah.
See what it says in the second part of that verse?
Yeah.
Why? Because he cares for you.
That's it. That's all you.
Don't you know God loves you?
Come on, man. Yes, thank you.
Those five things that we have been teaching at the church, those last two are very important.
Very important.
Let me give you a review. First of all, God is sovereign.
Yes, he is.
God is sovereign. Psalms 103 verse 19 says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all.
Amen.
Have that sunk in yet?
Oh, Lord.
Second, God is good.
Yes,
he is. Psalms 107 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord because he is what?
Good.
He's good.
Yeah.
Third, you have to realize God loves you.
Amen.
Romans 5 and 8. God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And these two is the one you need to concentrate today. God desires an intimate relationship with you.
Yeah.
Have you sunk in yet? Matthew 11 and 28. He says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden.
Yeah.
I give you rest. That's intimacy. That's a close relationship with the true and living God.
Yes, Lord.
And the fifth one, God believes in you and he pursues you. Every day God comes down in the cool of the day of your life and call your name. How do you know that? It says in Romans chapter 8 verse 31 and Psalm 56 and 9 that God is for you. He's not against you.
Yeah.
The sin of this world is the effect of that's going against you, but not God. And why does God allow that? He allowed that to put in place to drive you to him.
Yeah.
If you're mad at God, you're already saying something about who?
Me.
You're saying something about yourself. So your response says a lot about what's going on between you and God. If you're angry at God, guess what? Look at your response.
Yeah.
If you are content with what God is bringing you through, look at your response. Your response to what God is bringing to you determines what's going on between you and him.
Come on.
So let's look at a familiar passage.
Okay.
St. John the 3rd chapter, verse 16 down to verse 21. I want you to see, God loved you so much, he decided to become a man and come down and die on your behalf. Verse 16, familiar passage. We all know it by heart.
Right.
For God so loved the world.
That's it.
Put your name in there. For God so loved Dennis. For God so loved Deacon Brown. For God so loved Sister White.
Yeah.
For God so loved Brother Moore.
Yeah.
For God so loved everybody in the sanctuary right now. That he gave. Don't miss that. Something you could never pay for.
Yeah.
He gave his only begotten son. The only sinless human being that ever have existed.
Yeah.
Why? So that whosoever, that's put your name in there again, that believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Yeah.
Has that sunk in yet? God didn't save you to keep on sinning. He saved you to establish his holiness and his righteous level through you.
Yes,
look what it says in verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved. Underline that next two words. How?
Through
him. Through that very one that died on the cross for you. And every day in your life, you need to wake up with a mindset to have a relationship with him.
Amen.
Verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged. Let that sink in. He who does not believe in him is judged. When?
Already.
When?
Already.
Already. God said, when you don't believe in my son, judgment already began. How many people at that funeral that I just did Friday, when I presented the gospel, say, I don't believe that? Judgment started right then. Because you were telling, from your response, I don't believe that what God did through Christ Jesus was enough. And that's a slap in the Holy God's face. He says right there, he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe is judged already. What's the reason? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now let me just do a little teaching. Even as a Christian, you can be carnal. Deacon Brown did a good job explaining that, because you're not believing on the Son. How many Christians wake up every day and have Jesus and the Holy Spirit nature inside of them, but they're telling God, I ain't gonna rely on him. They're telling Christ, I ain't gonna do nothing that you want. Then God says, I gotta put my chastening on you. So you on your way to heaven, but he got to do some chastening. And the Bible says, if he didn't chasten you, that means he didn't love you, right? So when problems come, don't think it's because God hates you. Don't think it's because you're his enemy. He's trying to draw you closer to him. And you know what our stupid self do? Instead of getting closer, we get further away. See how stupid we can be? That's why he called us sheep. Sheep are the most stupidest animals. They'll start in a circle, following one, and keep on going. They'll even go over a cliff just because the one in front of them was going that way. Now that's stupid, isn't it? But don't laugh too hard. Guess who you're talking to? You're talking to us. We sheep. But that's why he had to intervene, because he know how stupid we are. I'm talking to me too. Look what it says in verse 19. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. The sin that you used to do, God's trying to expose it. And he's doing it every day since you've been saved. He's going to that secret closet that you got all them skeletons hid out, and he's trying to clean that thing out and get all them cobwebs and all those messed up sinful way of doing things. And it's up to you. Are you going to allow it to happen? He's exposing it. And you know that right thinking? God's looking. That wrong thinking? He already sees that. A man said, I don't like people that take drugs. And so the people that were examining him asked him, well, give us this example. He says, I don't like police and I don't like FBI agents. Because they take drugs. See how messed up our thinking can be? See, when God saved us, he saved us to see things from an entirely different perspective. And he wants us to think holy, think righteous, think sinless. But see, that old fallen nature thinks sin, do wrong, rebel against God, and don't even realize what we're doing is messed up. But when you got saved, he starts changing your perspective to see things from his way, see things from how he wants it done. That's holy and righteous. Look what it says in verse 20. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear of his deeds will be exposed. Now you're telling God where you stand since you've been saved. You still running away in darkness and not listening to the Savior? See, it's an intimate relationship of hearing what Jesus is saying to you. And when Jesus says something to you, he's not going to shout it to everybody else. That's what that rhema word is. He's going to whisper to you in your ear. But if you let sin get between him and you, you're not going to hear him. Am I listening to him? God say, let me just say this. When you put yourself on the throne instead of God being on the throne, that's the number one sin that God hates. Because he said, you shall have no other God before. Isn't that the first commandment? So let me, I'm just give a little commercial. That's what we're going to talk about on Tuesday night Bible study. You ain't got no business being in God's place. That ought to give you illumination right there. A lot of times we make decisions and our actions, and we put ourselves in the place of God. And that's the number one sin. You shall have no other God before me. And when you make that decision and not yield to him, you just became what? So you ain't got no business being in that place. And if you want to check it out, we're going to talk about that Tuesday night. Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 3 says, you shall have no other God before me. And the example we're going to talk about is Joseph. Joseph had every good reason to have revenge to his brother and to his father and his family.
Yeah.
But what did he say? Am I in the place of God? And that's enough. I'm going to talk about that because then I won't have nothing to say on Tuesday. What God is trying to show you, I care about you.
Yeah.
I care about you more than you care about yourself. Do you know that I love you? Verse 21. But he who practices truth comes to the light. When Jesus speaks to you, tell you to be kind, be merciful, be considerate. You are now letting the illuminating light of his thinking overshadow your darkness. I'm helping you. So that his deeds may be manifest, having been wrought in God. Would God lie?
No.
Then why are you hanging out in that area? Would God steal? Why are you hanging out in that area? Would God mistreat his parents? No. Would God forsake worshiping on Sunday or Sabbath day? See, I'm just picking out some parts of the law. So God said, already you fall short in your action and in your behavior. Reminds me of this wrong fruit. I've said this before, but I like it. I'm going to say it again. Man says that he's going to be surprised. So a group of college students visit a local farm. So after a tour, one of the students said to the farmer, your methods are too old-fashioned. I'd be surprised if this tree that you have been working on will have any more than 20 pounds of apples this year. And so the farmer looked at him and said, yeah, I'd be surprised too. And they asked him why. He said, because it's an orange tree. When God saved you, he saved you to do righteous fruit, not sinful fruit. See, when he saved you, he gave you his son's nature. Jesus is the only human being that never sinned. And so God the Father took Jesus' holy, sinless nature and has now been infused and implanted in you.
Amen.
Now, how many already knew that?
Oh, Lord, yes.
So when you sin, that's because you're telling Jesus, I don't want to do what you want. Because he's knocking. And he's trying to give you the answer.
Oh, Lord.
And he's trying to show you he's in you.
Yes, yes.
Turn, if you will, to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Verse 13 through 18. Every day of your life, you're going to have to make a decision. Who is Jesus Christ to me? You're either going to be doing it Christ Jesus' way, or you're going to be doing it your way.
Right.
Verse 13 of the 16th chapter of Matthew. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? It's good to know what the world says Jesus is. It's all right to know what they think. But Jesus kept on probing, and the answer they gave him was, verse 14, and they say that you are John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
Yeah.
And Jesus turned around and wanted to get their undivided attention on what's going on inside their head. And he said, but who do you say I am?
Yeah.
Every day of your life, God asks you that question, who do you say I am? Am I your Savior? Am I your Lord? Am I your Redeemer?
Yeah.
Or are you doing like the rest of the world with the wrong answer? And I'm going to tell you right now, when Jesus' thinking comes through you, you're getting all the help of God the Father. Because it says in verse 16, where the help come from?
All help come from him.
Simon Peter answered, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
And look what Jesus said in verse 17. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. It didn't come from no kind of earthly resource. No earthly source.
No.
Where did it come from? From my Father who is in heaven. Everything associated with Jesus Christ comes from God the Father to help you think right.
Yeah.
It didn't come from anything in this world.
Yeah.
So when you start showing Christ-like character, remember the source.
Yeah.
The source comes from God the Father. It comes from heaven.
Amen.
And you got to know this.
Mm.
You know, those five things that you need to know and remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to help you.
Yeah.
Because adversity and the sin of this world, it's going to come upon you.
Yeah.
But it's how you respond.
Amen.
Let me give you a nugget. When there's an unmet need and there's no answer, somebody need to listen. And the only person that can solve the problem is God. Are you listening? You are in God's territory. Did I go over your head? Nobody can fix this problem but God. God allowed it to happen so you can see how awesome He is.
That's it.
But you got to keep walking in it.
That's it.
See, if you look at the situation, I don't have enough money. I got health issues or whatever this is. Only God can solve the problem. You're in the prime opportunity for Him to show up.
Amen.
You're in God's area. You're in God's territory. He don't expect you to work it out. He know, as a matter of fact, He already know you can't work it out.
Yeah.
I'm just still thinking about the message Tony Evans gave and how God told Abraham to go sacrifice his son. Now, Abraham loved his son and never had one for a long wasn't able to have one. So finally, when he did have one, he loved him. And then God told him to go sacrifice it.
Yeah.
But notice, when God taught him to sacrifice him, he was obedient. So you got to know when God's speaking to you and make sure you know Satan ain't speaking to you. So when he knew God had told him to go sacrifice his son, immediately he obeyed. He didn't go. He didn't even go tell his wife. Because he already knew what would have happened. So he immediately, and in 3 days, listen, when he got to where he was at, God spoke to him because it was intimacy and said, "This is the place." Are you with me?
Come on.
And so when he knows this is the place, God say, "Okay, you be obedient." Because he could see something that we need to all let sink in our spirits. If God takes my son, he's got the power to resurrect him back.
Amen.
That's way back in Abraham's day. And here we are on the other side of the cross, and we know about the resurrection, and we still won't rely on it.
That's it.
So soon as God saw Abraham obeying, going up the mountain. God was working in the unseen realm, bringing the goat.
Thank you.
The goat didn't make no noise.
That's it.
That's another lesson. God ain't going to tell you what He's going to solve the problem with. He wants to see if you're going to be obedient, carry it all the way out.
That's it.
So this was the most silent goat you ever heard. Because God ain't going to let you know what He's going to do till He see you fulfill what He has carried out through you. Remember the unseen? This man already knew God going to work this out. I got enough faith to know God going to solve this problem. If He say sacrifice His son, the God that I serve is big enough to bring Him back to life. And let me obey God. Now let me tell you, He ain't telling you to go kill nobody today, okay? Because that's one of the commandments. But what God is trying to get you to see is the unseen, unsolvable problem is an opportunity for God to bless you. This building is proof of Him doing that. Do you know we didn't have enough to do anything just to even buy this land? But the Lord provided. And He's providing ever since.
Amen.
So when you trust God, that stuff that you can't fix, you're in the area for Him to take care of it. You just keep doing your part. And so God has told me to preach the gospel. Teach it, make it plain, and the fruits, don't worry about it. It's not my job to produce the fruits. Because I'll be wondering, Lord, when you going to send some more of these people to be committed? He said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. You just be faithful. And He has been faithful to meet the needs of this ministry from day one. Because you think, well, you got to know the right answer. Like the father that asked his son, how were your exam questions? And so the son said, the exam question was easy. So the father says, well then, why are you looking so unhappy? And so the son says, well, the questions didn't give me any trouble. It was them answers. God said, you got to know the answer and know who He is and what He has done for you. See, when you know Him, you got the truth. If you don't know him, you don't have the truth.
That's true.
See, Jesus had to ask the disciples, who do you say I am? Every day you got to resolve that issue. Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior?
Yeah.
Has he redeemed you?
Yeah.
Then let him be lived out through you, be resurrected through how you speak,
amen,
how you act, how you walk. And that revelation didn't come from you.
That's
God the Father and the Holy Spirit helping you see things,
yeah,
act right, respond right.
Yeah.
And Christ will be seen on the planet where? Right then,
yeah,
through you. God the Father said, blessed are you, Simon bar Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father was in heaven. Every day you need to have an intimate relationship with God where he gives you a revelation of what he wants to do you through you that day.
Yeah.
The first thing you need to do when you hit the floor in the morning is, Lord, don't let me sin against you. Designate all day long that I do what you created me to do.
Yeah.
Not what you created somebody else to do, what you created me to do. And let me be found faithful, showing your character,
yeah,
through me. Are we teaching this morning?
Yeah.
See, Jesus died on that cross so his divine nature might be seen where?
Through me. Yeah.
Through you.
Yeah.
Then Romans 8:28 says what? God causes all things. Don't miss that. See, we go too fast. All things, whatever he see handy. He will use your husband. He will use your wife. He will use your children. He will use your teacher. He will use your doctor. He will use every whatever he see handy to see if Christ-like character is going to come through you. And sometimes we can be rough against one another. But guess what? Is Jesus coming out? We have an illustration in Matthew, I think, where there's the verse where it says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
And what God does, he shakes your life up with circumstance. And that's the effect of sin to see, is he going to come out? You take a Windex bottle, and you squeeze that Windex bottle, and there's Windex in that bottle, what's going to come out? Windex, right? Jesus said, I save you, and I squeeze your life, I'm going to see if I'm going to come out. But as long as I keep seeing you, the world, the flesh, and the devil, that's the wrong stuff coming out. Are we teaching?
Amen.
Come on.
Closing passage, St. John chapter 6, verse 28-29. St. John chapter 6. Let me just set this up. There was a feeding of 5,000. In that sixth chapter, feeding of 5,000, Jesus fed the disciples, and he fed the multitude. And so then they were getting ready to go away. They moved to another location. And so as soon as they followed him, wherever he was at, Jesus identified the problem. He said to them, the reason why you guys are following me, it wasn't because you see the miracle. It wasn't because you see how glorious and how God's program is working through me. What you saw and why you came out here, because you got a good meal out of it. And you want some more. So you didn't come out here to get food. You didn't come out here to get a blessing and clarity of what's going on between God and you. You came out here so you can get another free meal. Pastor paraphrasing that, okay? So he goes on to explain, okay, but what do we need to do, they ask Jesus, that we might work the works of God? Since we come here with the wrong motive, we come here looking for food, what do we do? And Jesus said right there in that text, verse 28, therefore they said to him, what shall we do so that we might work the works of God?
Yeah.
Now don't miss this. What can you do? I'm telling you right up front, you can do nothing. God don't want any human effort. God don't want any human performance, because that's religion. But he breaks it down to explain in detail in verse 29 the work that he will accept. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he had sent.
Yeah.
Who did God the Father send?
His
son Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. If you want to know what the work that God the Father is looking for, it's the work of his son. The work of his son through you.
Yes, it is.
That's the work that he's looking for. Mm. And he's asking you every day, can I be resurrected through you? Mm. Can I be lived out through you? Mm. And God is the most ultimate gentleman. He will not force you to do what? Mm. Anything. You book it at the book of Revelation, the church of Laodicea, he even knocks at the door. Mm. Now, I'm telling you, if your pastor was God, I would tear that door down and come on in. What is that teaching me? God does not force his way into your life right now. He wants you to allow him to have his way.
Open up.
And when you open up the door and let him in, he says intimacy. He'll come in and sup with you and you with him. That's what God wants. That's those two things that we have been saying, that five things to know and remember. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you. Are you going to allow it? Are you going to allow it? Or are you going to still be in God's place? I thought I just slipped that one in there. See, a lot of times God tells us to yield to him, and we get on the throne and we become God. I'm going to do it how I think and how I feel. Then God says, okay, I'm going to back off. I ain't going to force you. And if you want to be God over that situation, you'll reap what you sow. Because the number one sin is the first commandment out of those 10 commandments. You shall have no other God before me. Are we teaching?
Amen.
And you have to have the right person for the right answer. And Jesus Christ is the only right answer.
That's it.
A father who a father asked, why did you get such a low score on that test? And the son said, absence. And the father said, you weren't absent in school that day because I made sure you went to school. And the son says, no, but the boy that sat next to me was. God said, there is no excuse for absence. See, when you don't let Christ be seen through you, it's absence. No good. The world, the flesh, and the devil, God never accepts. So let me just give you these three actions. The three actions that God is always doing. When you say, where do you get actions from? E-C-T-I-O-N-S is the last letters to all three of these situations that God is always doing. God is always doing his directions. And you can check that out in Psalm 52 and 8. God is always doing his corrections. And God is always doing his protection. And check the pastor spelling out. I believe all three of them words have the last few parts. E-C-T-I-O-N-S. Correct? God is always doing those actions. What he's doing? He's directing you. He's correcting you. And he's protecting you. And what he's ultimately doing to all three of them is he's perfecting you. E-C-T-I-O-N. It's something that the pastor came up with to help you understand. He's always doing those three. Are you going to allow him to do it? Are you going to allow him to do it? And you show God every day of your life where your priorities are.
Yeah.
Deacon Brown, you're going to like this one. Priority, signpost said. The sign said, remember, the liquor stores are closed tomorrow. So buy your fifth for the fourth. On the third right, this second, as your first priority. People that have been in a liquor store know what I'm talking about. You show God your priority every day. You show God where you are in your relationship, and is he really first? The Bible says, seek ye what?
First.
And when you don't put God first, God go to chastening you because you his. And God say, it's not because I hate you, it's because I love you. Now, my daughter-in-law is here right now. I guarantee you, she's not going to let those kids do something that's going to harm them. But she's not going to let them also do something that they shouldn't be doing. So she's going to do a little chastening to help them realize when they're doing what? When they're doing what? And what God does is he does it because he loves them. You know, I remember when my granddaughter Madison was there. She was little. We had to pop her hand to keep her away from electrical pipe. Just, you've been on. Now, at that time, she didn't understand, right? But see, you did that for what? For her good. God say, I hate sin so much because I know it will destroy you. And if you go to any funeral, you'll know the pain and result of what sin does. It causes death.
Yeah.
That's why he came and died on the cross for us.
Amen.
Is this message sinking in?
Amen.
All right, well, we're going to close it. I want you to understand God cares about you.
Amen.
No matter how many problems, no matter how many things come in your life, God say, I still love you. And I want an intimate relationship with you. How many times out of the course of a day did you stop and say, Lord, speak to me? Spend some time with him. Open up your mind, your thinking. Get into his word. Speak to me, Lord. Help me see things from your perspective. And I guarantee you, he's going to illuminate your mind to see things from the way you never saw it before. Because that's what he wants to do. The same way he did Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him. But the Father in heaven, the same way God want to give it to you.
Amen.
It's amazing how stuff I used to think was all right. But now God has changed my thinking.
Yeah.
Changed my perspective.
Yeah.
Did you know your pastor at one point didn't think it was necessary to go to church?
No.
And I remember when my children were getting baptized. And I decided to stay at home and keep sleeping.
Yeah.
Instead of coming to the church and getting when they got baptized.
Yeah.
And I even feel bad about that now. But that shows you where my thinking was. Are you with me? And God had to change my thinking. But when I start getting into his word, when I start reading the Bible, when he grabbed a hold to my heart, my mind, and realized, man, you are a stupid sheep.
Amen. Amen.
But he did it with love. He didn't chase me back with pain and suffering. He chasing me with love. And when you correct your children, when they get older, they're going to know when you did it because you love them.
Amen.
Not because you hate them.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you today, God cares about you.
Amen.
God loves you more than you can love yourself.
Amen.
Let it sink in. When problems come, don't think that God is hating you and trying to drive you away from him.
Mm-mm.
It's just the opposite. He's trying to draw you closer to him.
Amen.
Yes, it hurts when you lose a loved one. Yes, it hurts when sin causes health problems. Yes, the adversity of life. That's the effect of sin. That's why he came into the world to die for it.
Mm.
But once you get his new life living inside of you, things start changing how you view things.
Mm.
They no longer have that same perspective.
Mm.
So let me open the doors of the church at this time.